part of what's happened is that sports and patriotism and the flag have been conflated to such an extent that people can't separate out any nuance. If you go to see Hamilton, which is about the founding of the Republic, no one says, wait a minute, don't raise the curtain until we hear the national anthem. When you went to see Private Ryan, no one said, turn off the projector, Saving Private Ryan. No one said, turn off the projector until we've had the national anthem. It's in sports where this stuff happens. Sometimes movingly, sometimes I'd submit cynically, because wrapping yourself in the flag and honoring the military is something which no one is going to object to.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big shows. We roll on a Monday. Fun day here on The Usual Suspects as we continue to roll through and start to get into the Texans and wrap up, which was a prominent discussion in the first hour, more of the politics and sports around the anthem and protests and our president. To get one more call in here on the subject, Jason wants to get in here. Jason, what's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, so my take on everything is kind of, I mean, I'm for, you know, protesting, you know, to try to get some equality going on, but, you know, I'm privy to dealing with some of these NFL guys directly, and, you know, I cut Aaron this morning. He's headed to New York right now to do a TV show talking about this issue in particular. And I mean, he's kneeled in the past, so I know where he stands. But you know, a lot of my Texans players are, you know, they're kind of on the fence. You know, they're not teetering, you know, one way or another. But I got to say, I was pleased to see, you know, players all over the league, you know, doing it. And even I've seen some baseball players, you know, taking a stance. But I had a guy in the locker room this morning at the gym that said he's not watching any NFL, a white guy. He's boycotting the NFL, and he's not watching it. And he's like, F these guys that's protesting, because he's a veteran. And I just kind of felt like he was all over the place. And so, which is uncharacteristic of me, I chimed in, and I just told him, like, you know, my dad's a veteran. I deal with a lot of these players, and the issue isn't about, you know, disrespecting the flag. You know, the issue is about equality and trying to get some justice, you know, throughout the United States. It's not about disrespecting the flag at all.
No, it's about using your platform to call attention to a topic that needs discussion.
Right, and that's what I expressed to him. I mean, it was, you know, fairly good dialogue, but I think the point of what I'm saying is, it's a lot of people that's just uninformed about what's going on, and they just take it and run with it instead of talking to the guy next to you just to get an understanding and then make your decision.
Exactly.
You know, I deal with African Americans and I deal with Caucasian people, and I specifically ask them to get their take. I got head coaches that have their whole team is full of black kids, and they're still supporting it because they understand the message and the reason. So that's just my two cents.
By the way, you deal with Barry too, so you deal with a lot. So let's just make that very clear.
I deal with Barry as well, and he understands.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hey man, I appreciate you coming out Saturday. By the way, I hope you had fun.
Man, I had a great time. If you guys get a chance, man, go check Barry out. Man, he's funny, man. Had a great time.
Appreciate it, man. Handle. Chase, thanks for chiming in.
He's right, though. Right, I mean, have that conversation. That's been my point. I mean, all of this that's going on is distraction from the issue.
Completely agree.
And it's pretty common when you have people that don't want things to change that they'll distract you from what it is you're trying to change. So it's not, you know what I mean? It's not uncommon to, hey, you know what? Let's make this about because nothing gets people to back off quicker than saying, hey, you're disrespecting the people that have served this country and vets. And everyone's like, no one wants to do that. You know what I mean? But that's not the point. And in fact, I found these two comments that I thought summed up what I was trying to say at the very beginning. When Kaepernick first took a knee, I came on the show the day after. And the very first thing I said is there's nothing more American than protesting. There is nothing more American than protesting. This country was founded on protest. The Boston Tea Party was a protest. This country itself was founded because they didn't like the way they were being treated. Guess what? Whether you agree with it or not, African Americans and people of color in this country don't like the way they're being treated by law enforcement and by the government, and that's what they're protesting. All right? Whether you agree or not, it's their right to do it.
And there has been a track record of occurrences which has escalated.
Yeah. And this, I found this quote, and this was by just a couple of dudes that they posted the article on Deadspin of the baseball player that had protested.
Bruce Maxwell of the A's, if you missed it, first baseball player in Major League Baseball to kneel for the anthem this weekend.
And these summed up and said what I couldn't find the words to say eloquently, but the points that I was trying to make. When I read these, I was like, this is it. And I'm going to read both of them. The first one was from a guy named Christopher Bucheller. He said, there is nothing more patriotic, nothing, than demanding that your country do better because you know it should and you know it can. The other quote was from a guy named Camilius Davis. Your country's like your family. You can love it and still be disappointed in it from time to time and want it to do better. And that's exactly what this is about. This isn't about disrespecting the flag and disrespecting veterans. That's not what this is about, because those vets fought for your right to free speech and peaceful protest. This is about expecting our country to do better. And again, this is the last I want to talk about it from my side, but let's get back to talking about the issue. Jason nailed it. Look to the person to your left or right and have the discussion with them. Don't talk about the kneeling. Talk about the issue.
Right. And here's the thing. You're absolutely right. And I was going to say, the other thing is that you were spot on with was this was a reaction to what the president tweeted. And it did bring everybody together. Yeah. But it does not address the bigger picture issue, which is what's been brought up all along with the initial kneeling, which is the issues right now facing this country that we're running from with this kind of I don't want to say distraction, but what happened this weekend was not at all addressing the issue that started this entire kneeling process. By the way, that was Jason from Current Cuts. We didn't mention that, but Jason is a loyal listener to the show, and we appreciate that.
I haven't flexed in on him yet and said, hey, man, how come you haven't gotten Deshaun Watson to come on my show? How come you haven't gotten – but I'm going to. I'm going to.
He needs to come on your show.
Well, I'm not saying our show when I'm talking to him one-on-one. Give me some water. Let me smack my lips real quick. What is going on here?
I don't know. Trey's making hand signals in there. But here's the other thing I was going to say, too, before we get out of this. You got to quit using the sports mentality in your politics. And it's kind of what we addressed a few segments ago, too. Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a whole lot more. We will be right back here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. I apologize what the hell happened for that destruction.
There? That was weird at the end. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I do. Why don't you tell everybody what happened?
No, the wife has an emergency at the house and is freaking out. She's locked out. And the dog is in the car, and she can't find the spare key, which I know exactly where it is. And so I was dealing with all of that.
So crisis averted?
Let's hope so. I'm waiting for confirmation. But to get us back where we were. Sorry, and I apologize for the distraction. No, so, because we don't know what's... Just let me get through it first before we get any deeper into it.
It's like, no,
I'm
no.
Like, when she's calling the contest line, it's a bit of a problem.
Well, it was just weird that I don't think the listeners knew because you were like midway through a sentence and you were like, we'll be back.
Well, because
well, that was my bad.
Yeah, Nick came in my ear and go, like, we got
what is going on?
Go to break. So well, I was like, okay, I'll go to break.
Yeah.
I'm going to blame some. It's always traditional to blame some of it on the intern, right?
Oh, well, who
doesn't, right?
Who was it?
So, what are you, Granato?
Say who it was.
Intern,
say who it was.
Intern Dre just comes storming in here.
Oh, my God!
Joel's wife is stuck out of the house, locked out of the house. I'm like, all right, man.
Locked out of the house? Are we saying that's an emergency?
No, the dog's locked in the car, too, and she has to get in the house to get her key.
How does she lock the dog in the car again?
Because she's going to take the dog to the vet, and the back door must have evidently locked. And her keys are in the house.
You guys in
locks?
Y'all
need one of those apps to control the locks remotely. Like you need.
Yeah, you guys in locks are a bad combination. Ah, watch out! That was a lock joke.
Dude, pretty soon you're going to be a comedian.
That was a lock joke, guys. Right in the middle of a segment.
I award you no points.
Oh, thank you. You're a hater. You're a hater. So I was just going to say, if my wife calls this show and she says it's an emergency that she's locked up, there's going to be a sweaty-ass wife when I get home. I'm just telling you right now. I'm at work. I got things to do. You're locked out of the house. That's not an emergency.
I don't think that's going to fly.
I don't think it's going to fly.
I think it's going to go down.
You know what's hilarious? Is her brother's listening, and he just texted me not too long ago. So I know he's like, he knows I'm lying. He's sitting there shaking his head going, nah, you ain't doing that. She'll whip your ass.
Yeah. I do.
Alex knows I'm lying.
Yes. Trey was extremely panicked. In the process, maybe more than my wife.
Got it all,
but everything's okay.
Not yet,
but it will be.
I told her where the key is, and hopefully she'll get it. I'm waiting for an update.
I want to make one point. If you're texting the show about the Trump and the kneeling and all, just know I'm deleting them all. If you really want to give your opinion, call because everybody's texting.
Nah,
these
I've already
long
capped
ass,
it. I've already capped.
Okay, good. We're done with it. We can move on.
I've already
these.
Instructed.
Good.
Intern
Trey. Thank you. Well, let's move on. I'm not reading these long ass texts that you're sending. You should have called.
Yeah.
So next time it comes up,
that thought that I was getting into, wrap up that whole thing. The biggest thing is, just to what you were saying, this is not about sports. This is not being extremely loyal, like drinking the Kool-Aid and being a Rockets fan, to where because this is your guy, he can do no wrong. I think to Barry's point was spot on, and that is, look, regardless of who you voted for, he's our president now. And just as staunchly as you want to support him, there's a time when you step back and you go, you know what? You made a mistake. There's mistakes being made. And also, address the real issue. Don't make it about standing just simply because of patriotism and realize that it goes a lot deeper than that. And that's where I'll leave it. But that's what I was trying to get to. This isn't like your fandemonium on your sports of a sports team. This is a larger scale, bigger stage, and a lot more to it.
Word.
There you go.
So we're done for the day. Yes. No more of this. Whew, thank goodness. Let's get this stupid Packers call.
That's where you want to go first? I'm going to give you a choice.
Yeah, dumb
Imran
Packers.
Spelled with a zero because of intern Trey. What up?
Imran wants to talk Packers. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time caller, long time listener. Love the show. Barry, you hit everything on the spot about the whole kneeling thing. Nothing more needs to be said. But just want to let you guys know about what happened this weekend. You know, I had a five-team parlay, you know, you know, basically all the teams needed to win. So I had Auburn, I had West Virginia, and I had Alabama. West Virginia, you know, it was a little scary, but thankfully got through. And then I had the Patriots and I had the Packers, you know. And I got to say, those two games were the biggest sweats I ever had in my life. But, man, they were absolutely amazing, you know. Our boys played as well as they could. You know, there were a few issues, but. Man, going one-on-one with the Patriots, it was absolutely amazing. And then, you know, cherry on top, I was sweating like there was no tomorrow when we were halftime with the Packers, man. But that was definitely a game to watch. So I'll let you guys know that I hit my 5-team parlay.
Nice.
But,
how much did you make?
What did you make off that?
Just $100. But,
I'll take it. I mean, if that's chump change to you, send it over. I'd be glad to win $100. Well, good for you, man.
Yeah,
so the Packers had you sweating. So Texans.
You weren't the only one, by the way.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Good deal, man. Appreciate it. All right, it got awkward.
Thanks for the call, Emmer. Look, I mean, and I heard people debating what was the bigger better comeback. But look, you had Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and they did what they do. And you've kind of grown to expect nothing less. And for me to say, I'm not trying to compare, but that's the greatest of all time wearing number 12 in New England. And I said when they kicked the field goal, I just knew how this game was going to end. Just simply because he's done it too many times before. He is the greatest of all time.
What?
And the way he orchestrates an offense, regardless of their defense.
You should have heard Westwood Love. Oh, he's the best that's ever played the game. Yes, I'm going to go,
he solidified
I'm
that with
go
the
on
Super
the
Bowl.
Record and say it right now. Like, he was saying it during the play-by-play call. Like, so, I mean, people will say that about Tom Brady. I get it.
I'm just shocked that he would say that being an Aaron Rodgers.
And I'm saying it. You know what? Let me tell you boy. This. The jewelry, no, it's not about a fanboy, because I'm not. I'm realistic, and I'm also irrational about the decision and knowing when you've got that many rings and you've done that many things, you can't take anything away from him. Aaron Rodgers has one Super Bowl win. Obviously, I love my team, and I think he is great for that team, but he's not even close to Tom Brady in terms of the accomplishments.
Not yet.
Right.
He
the
could
accomplishments.
Be.
He could. We saw quickest to three
accomplishments.
Quickest
alone,
to 300 touchdown passes. You know, annihilated the amount of interceptions in that time by only throwing, I think, 74. But look, overall, Tom Brady is who he is, and he's proven it over time. He's 40 freaking years old and still doing it. That says something in itself.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, do you think he'll play three more years? The way
he said he. Now, if his wife has something to say about it, no.
Yeah.
I mean, and she's not locked out of the house. But you know that wives do have some kind of a say in the whole thing.
Right.
But I think that's what he said he could do. And look, he's not showing any signs of slipping up to where no. I would argue with it. I think right now, if he says he's going to play three more years, he's fully capable, and I think he will.
I just wanted to get in a couple more notes from
the Texans.
Yeah, from just stuff that I was jotting down during the game that just wanted to throw out there for discussion. There's something that I haven't seen mentioned not a single time, but that long pass to Deontay Foreman was 70-something yards or something like that. He's breaking down the sidelines. One guy's got the angle on him. What I don't understand is he doesn't even bother to cut back. He just lets the guy basically run him out of bounds. No cutback, no attempt to avoid the tackle or anything. That bothered me a little bit, and no one even – it hasn't come up. It's like, dude, you – I mean, he – it was – it's almost like he just gave up, like, okay – you know, I got as much as I'm going to get out of this. He's got some speed and some power. He could have cut back on the defender.
I was going to say, you're a power runner, but that's between the tackles.
Yeah.
But when you get out in the open field, so feel free to use your athleticism.
Yeah, and so that bothered me a little bit. No attempt to cut back or anything on that. I think the O-line played a lot better. And that third and one call, and I even made a note about it, with about 2.5 left, they got beat on that. I mean, whether it was Miller or Deontay Foreman in the game, the O-line got beat on that play, which is the point that about going for it and kicking the field goal and all that. They played much better. I mean, Deshaun Watson was still running for his life on certain plays, but there were several plays where he had a nice clean pocket, and
the
he got a little happy feet.
Better.
He got a little happy feet, but he contained himself. He didn't go all David Carr and take off running. But he also didn't go Matt Schaub and become the fainting goat. I'm saying he stood in the pocket.
But I'm saying,
he moved around a little, but he stayed in that pocket.
But you don't blame him for having the happy feet early because
of
already
no,
what he's
no,
been
no, no,
through,
no, no, no,
right.
No, because he knows. Yeah, no, I don't blame him at all. But it was like, because I hear people talking about, oh, well, this is David Carr all over again with this bad line and a rookie quarterback. And he's already showing more progress in that regard than David Carr ever did.
Just go from the Cincinnati game to this game.
Except he pissed me off with the first sack of the game running out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage. Dude, just throw it away.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's only 2 yards, but throw it away.
Throw it underhand if you have to.
Yeah.
When you're outside the tackles, just get rid of it and get it out of bounds, and you don't take the sack, the loss, all of that. I agree with that.
But
let me tell you something. I mean, let me ask you this. Because you look at the night and day difference between the Cincinnati game and the New England, no one saw this coming.
Oh, no.
And the way he was moving and grooving was fantastic. But come on, third and one, regardless of everything else, could you not have predicted that play to know exactly where they were going with it?
It was working all day, though. It was working all day. They were running the ball up the middle all day
long. If you're the Patriots and you review tape the way teams do, you know that pretty much you could take all their third and ones on this season, and it's the exact same spot on basically probably the same play.
Yeah.
You got a quarterback, like you said, he proved he can run, and he's agile. Let him roll out a little bit. Let him get outside. Let him show those wheels, because he wasn't stopped behind the line of scrimmage when he got him going.
Yeah.
So
there was one other thing, and I know I'll make it quick because I know we got to go to break. But one other note that I had made was there was a push off by Cooks on Kareem Jackson on that last drive that they didn't call. And I'm like, if you're going to call it, like, they didn't call it on Gronk, but then they had a push off on Ryan Griffin that they did call, and it just felt like they weren't being consistent in that.
Yeah, I saw the push Gronk, off by Gronk.
You saw that, didn't get called. Later, Ryan Griffin does the same thing. That gets called. And then again later on, Cooks pushes off on Kareem Jackson, doesn't get called again.
Makes you wonder for sure.
Yeah. You know, a little frustrating if you're a fan. But you just want to see some consistency in that. That's all.
Yeah, and especially if you're a player, because when Gronk, you know, that guy, you know, that's an opportunity. You're covering Gronkowski, one of the best receivers out there in the NFL. You want to prove yourself, and when you feel like you got screwed out of coverage, you know, you don't want to look bad. You know,
it's
that's
hard
your paycheck.
Enough.
That's your money.
Yeah, it's hard enough as it is to cover that dude. All right. I wanted to get that out there. All right, we'll be back right after this. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, back on the Usual Suspects. It's the halftime break, and it's behind us. 90 in the rearview mirror, 90 still to go in the big show as we continue to roll on.
Every time it works.
Was that the swimming man?
I don't know. It just
you did
just,
look like you were swimming.
I just doing whatever I felt, you know. Whatever felt natural. That's the thing about dancing.
If it feels good, just do it.
That's the thing about dancing. You just, whatever your body starts to do, you do it. You know what I mean? Just let it go. Go ahead, Joel. Give me a little bit.
You can relate, Joel.
I can relate?
Yeah, you can dance, right?
Oh, no question. You've seen it. But not you. You've just seen it, just a small
what?
Sampling.
What? When did you dance?
Well, sitting on
a seat in
a chair, in studio.
But albeit, he looks in here and makes
Texas
fun of me when
like
I
we went wild.
Cut a little rug.
Yeah. Nick and I at the Gal, was it Super Bowl
it was
party?
The Texas party. The big Texas
big
party.
Texas party.
Boy.
You guys had some barbecue and some business.
The hoes were flocking to the dance floor.
You were dancing
what the
with
kids
AJ,
say.
Weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. One drunk big girl was like, hey! Nick and I were like, we're busy.
Nick was like, but if I don't do well by 1 a.m., let me know where you're going to be.
That's for sure.
Nice. You want to do this call real quick? Let's take Jim's call on Texas Play Calling. Jim, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are
thanks
you, Jim?
Thanks for taking the call. Good, thanks. Listen, I'm a Jet fan, and on top of that, I'm a Michigan Wolverine fan. So I know a lot about Tom Brady, and one of you mentioned earlier about the third and one call. It was terrible. But beyond that, after that third and one that they didn't get it, you knew what was happening. Everybody knew what was happening.
Yeah.
You knew what the final score was going to be. You knew what was going to happen. And it's a shame. First down, the game's over. Like I said, I'm a Jet fan. I have my own troubles. But what a terrible call.
I don't know, Jim. First down, the game's over? I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. But I think either way, you know, Jim, the question becomes, is the risk risk versus reward, right? If you don't get that first down, now all Tom Brady needs to do is get a field goal, and the chances go up even higher as opposed to kicking the field goal and forcing them to go down the field, the length of the field, because you could get a touchback and score a touchdown. So, I mean, either way, yeah, you knew if Tom Brady was getting the ball back, what was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think that the scenarios that we look at, first of all, Jim, you're a Jets fan. They beat the Dolphins. You don't have as big a problem as you had a week ago. I mean, at least rejoice. You got a win. You're not going to go run the table without a win this year. But from the Texans' perspective, here's the thing. In a normal offensive system, with an offensive play caller that you believe and trust in, I think you look at that as third and one and fourth and one, and I think one way or the other, you get that first down. I think based on what we were talking about previously, the track record of what they've done even just this year on third and one, and the fact that we can't say unequivocally we have trust in Bill O'Brien's play calling, I think that's why, in a nutshell, they kicked the field goal. I think it was a different play caller. I think it might be a little bit more in terms of contemplation and going, yeah, maybe I would have gone for it there. But I think the way he calls plays and how conservative his offensive play calling is, I don't think that it was a decision because of that those factors alone. And I think you're right. I think in a short field, yeah, right. But I think to Jim's point, maybe it doesn't run the clock out with the first down, but it makes it, like you said, incredibly difficult to win, just as it would have been incredibly much more easy to win if they went for it and missed and he just had a short field to work into field goal range. But to Charlie's point, look, I mean, their field goal kicker isn't exactly money all the time, but, you know, Gostkowski has been pretty good.
Yeah.
So, hey, right now I want to tell you guys about the good people at Window World. I've told you about them before. I'm a huge believer in Window World of Houston for a lot of reasons. One, it's a quality product. Two, they got the good housekeeping seal of approval. Three, with everything that's going on in this city right now, they are focused on making sure that you get a low price at a quality window, and it can lower your energy bills going forward because you're trying to save money. They do it all under one roof, and they come to you with a free estimate. It's a great, great program and system, and it works. It works because they are fast becoming the number one window company in America because of all the things that I just said, and because of the fact that they do free written estimates and there's no strings attached. They come to you. All you do is call 713-439-1172 or go to windowworldhouston.com. They come to you. They check out what you got. They tell you how you could update your windows or make them better, and then they walk away. If you want them, you call them back. They come back to you. They do all the work. You're happy as can be. If you don't want them or don't want them at the present time, just let them go. They're not going to hassle you, and at the time is right, you can call them back, and they'll be there to do the deal. Again, 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call.
All right, credit where credit is due. Mm-hmm. Rachel, I think I said that no one saw that coming. You know what I mean? No one saw that being close. Mm-hmm. Credit where credit is due. Rachel tagged the three of us and said, on a tweet that she posted on September 22nd, 7:43 a.m. The Patriots will win the game on Sunday, but the Texans will keep it much closer than people think.
Was that for credit the preseason game against
credit
the Patriots?
Credit where credit is due. You know what? You go back to it, though. The playoff game, if not for Brock Osweiler and Will Fuller's hands of stone, that's a closer game than happened.
The playoff game?
They were in that game to win it. They were in this game to win it. This is a team that, you know, when playing the Patriots, they've played them much better, but there are no moral victories in sports.
When did she send that?
The 22nd.
Okay. I thought you were saying in preseason she sent that.
That was Friday. No, nope. Okay. Yeah, 22nd at 7:45 in the morning.
She Lamonted it.
She called her shot, and she was right on. It was really close. But leave it to Texans fans for us to have moral victories. But you have to be encouraged with what you saw from the O-line. You have to be encouraged with what you saw from Deshaun Watson. I will say, though, three games in, and I'm watching J.J. Watt quite a bit when this team is on defense, and he is still a step behind. Now, he is getting
doubled and tripled
a lot. And he is, and you know it's driving him nuts because he can't go off and be the center of attention to a certain degree, and I think that that's bothering him. But even when he is not getting double teamed or they're just chipping on him with a tight end and the tight end breaks a route or whatever, he still seems to be a step slow or just missing. When in the past he was getting to the quarterback, he's just slightly off. And so I don't know if it's still him not being fully back from the injury or not. But that's something to keep an eye on. If he keeps close but no cigar and not getting those sacks or those quarterback hits, it could become an issue. Then you know what I mean? Your superstar might be lingering, or at least he's, you know, we've heard discussions of, well, after back surgery, he'll never be the same again. Mm-hmm. And that might be the case if he doesn't start getting to the quarterback.
He definitely showed frustration post game.
Oh, and after.
I mean, what do you want me to say? It sucked. They threw a touchdown. We lost. It sucked. I mean, give them credit. They made the play. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. You want me to dissect it for you? It sucked. We lost. It sucks.
Did it feel like on that last drive, if we can just make one more, we got it?
Of course. I mean, I don't know what you guys are looking for here. They scored a touchdown to win the game. We didn't stop them. That's how football works. I don't know what you want me to say. We didn't stop them. They deserve the credit. They deserve the win. If we wanted to win, we should have stopped them.
You sense a little frustration?
Yeah, a little bit.
But Barry, to your point, look, here's what I'm saying. I agree with you in the fact that I think he might be. We may never see the JJ of old because, look, those back surgeries are serious. But he's still a force enough to be double and triple teamed, right? So he's at least, and he even made mention of that he's at least creating the distraction to cause the double and triples that are allowing guys like Clowney and Merciless to get to the quarterback and try and wreak some havoc. But I agree with you. And to Nick, your point, the frustration, you heard it there. You could see it at the end of the game because the minute they scored, and even before they scored, when they ISO'd on him on the sideline.
Oh, he was rubbing his head in frustration.
It was coming, and you could see he was just feeling it like they let an opportunity get away. Look, you look at where that game was in terms of a spread before the game. You look at how it played out. 14 and 13 and a half. You look how it played out at the end. And you say, look, of all the things this franchise has accomplished since it got started in Houston, that might have been, for so many reasons, to get that monkey off your back, to be the underdog and come back at Foxborough, to beat a team you haven't beaten six straight games, who is your kryptonite, regardless of anything else you've done or haven't done as a franchise. That may have been as important a victory as this franchise had seen in its existence, simply because of all those things and more. You could have gotten so much momentum. You could have capitalized and rode the wave of how great Watson was. How you looked the giant in the eye and you took them down. You slayed them because of the fact that you came out focused, ready to play. You executed. You did all these things. And all that good in 1 2-minute drill just went away.
Well, I mean,
and a lot of it, sure, you can have
a lot of it
victories,
doesn't go away. You look at what Deshaun Watson did, and he threw for 300 yards and ran for 40 against this Patriots team on the road as a rookie in his second start ever. And I want to say I saw something on one of the crawlers that said it's the first time since 2015 or 14 that a QB has done that in Foxborough, much less a rookie. But it might have been a rookie. I don't remember what it was specifically. But what he did was the first time in a long time that it had been done to the Patriots on the road. So you take that and you say, okay, they got beat by Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. It really, if you want to be real about it, they got beat by Moore. You know what I mean? What's his name? Corey Moore. If Corey Moore catches the interception, that's it. That's ball game. I mean,
but how many have we seen the ifs, buts, candies, nuts? They've been so close.
I get it.
Times.
You got to make plays.
Yeah.
Tom Brady made the plays and Corey Moore didn't. Brandon Cooks made the plays and Kareem Jackson didn't.
So you got a lot of moral victories. You're right. You can look, we all are in agreement that you got your quarterback. And this guy, I don't know if I'm ready to use special yet, but he's got an it factor and he's damn good. So you're right. You can take that away, but you know that the Titans won again. You know what the division looks like with Jacksonville at 2-1. You know that it's going to be an uphill battle now, and moral victories aren't going to get you over the top. They would have really had a lot of momentum had they had won that game.
I do agree with you on that. If they win that game, and it goes back to the point that Charlie made earlier, in that division, they're doing a lot better if they win that game. So I don't know. We'll see. This has been a Jekyll and Hyde team so far. I mean, you look at the way they played against the Bengals. You look at the way they played against the Patriots. It's two different teams almost. So we'll see what we get over the next couple of weeks. By the bye week, though, you're going to know how this season's going to play out. Because, you know, as we discussed this schedule, it's not exactly the easiest schedule in the world coming up. You've got the Chiefs. You've got the Titans. You got the Browns. So that might be good for a win. But then, that's all before the bye week. So it's very well that if you only beat the Browns, you're going into the bye week, 2-5, 2-4?
Yeah, and that's
2-4? That's not great.
No, that's a hole that's pretty deep, especially because of what you're facing in a division that I don't think anybody expected, especially from Jacksonville. And we knew Tennessee was better. We just didn't think they would be this good to do what they did and beat Seattle. I think when you looked at the schedule before the year, you went, oh, there's a win for the Seahawks. And instead, you know, you're facing a red-hot Titans team, and they're coming here.
I mean, I kind of had the Titans winning the division and the Jags making the playoffs as a wild card, but so I think everyone else didn't expect it.
Lemon Acridamus is here Monday through Friday if you need to get in touch with the maestro. Right now, I want to tell you about the good people at American Wheel and Tire. Look, I don't just sit here and peddle them because they want me to and they want me to take care of them. I do it because I believe in them and I've used their services again and again. They're at 290 and 34th Street just outside the Loop, or you can go to AmericanWheelandTire.com and see all the great things that they can do with your vehicle, from rims and tires to all kinds of lift kits and things for your SUV or your pickup. They do complete wraps on cars. The Kevlar treatment is fantastic. But don't let me tell you. Check it out at American Wheel and Tire. I'm here to tell you about the fact that when you have a tire that goes nose, or you've got a dent in one of your rims, and everybody's telling you you got to replace that. Look, you don't. You take it to American Wheel and Tire. You're never going to pay for things that you don't need. They're going to take care of you the right way in a very comfortable waiting room, and they're going to make sure you get the service and communication that you deserve as a customer of theirs, let alone anywhere else you go. You bring your car in, they're going to tell you, hey, that tire can be patched, or they're going to tell you it does need to be replaced, but they're going to be honest. Same thing with the rims. They have factory rims and tires. So if they need to do a replacement, they can do it just like a dealership, probably for a lot less. And you know how those stores do it with Wheels and Tires, the national companies? Hey, you bring it in, they don't tell you a thing. At the end of the day, they hand you a bill and you're like, what the hell just happened here? That's not going to happen there, because Mike and Tammy Gust have been in business in Houston for over 15 years and they want you to come back whenever you need wheels, tires, or anything to jazz up your vehicle. Check them out, 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop, American Wheel and Tire, or head to AmericanWheelandTire.com.
Happy birthday, ESPN 97.5. We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty.
Hold on to your butts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel as we continue to have a Texans-type feel to it. We've covered a lot of ground, but we're obviously talking about football because that was the story of the weekend in so many different ways, including your Texans coming, oh, so close, but yet so far away. We were talking about that before the break, and we've got people that want to get in here and join the conversation. Let's go first and foremost to Alfonso, who wants to talk about that Patriots-Texans game. What's up?
Hey there, guys. I wanted to throw in this conspiracy theory that I've had about the former Texans coaches and assistants who have left New England. Have you ever noticed that all of them have had losing records and have never had success at everywhere they've gone? You were talking like Eric Mangini, Romeo Crennel, Josh McDaniels. Now we have Bill O'Brien.
Don't forget Charlie Weiss.
He's probably the closest. But have you ever felt like they're holding back something of why are they so conservative when they leave New England? I mean, it's like New England's offense is like super aggressive. They make everything look so easy. And yet, you know, here were the Texans in the scenario of just get a first down. The Patriots wouldn't have lied down. They would have just gone for it. And that's, you know.
Alfonso.
I don't understand Bill O'Brien's conservative approach here.
Alfonso, let me explain the big difference that all of those coaches that you've named. The difference between all of them and Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has a guy named Tom Brady that he can go for it with. Bill Belichick has a guy named Tom Brady that he can turn it over to. Bill O'Brien has a rookie QB that has one start under his belt. So, yeah, these guys might be more conservative, but Tom Brady makes Bill Belichick look really good, too. Don't forget that.
But
they've been together this entire time.
What about the guys who have been familiar with the system, though? Like the Brian Hoyers and the Ryan Mallets. I mean, they've known the system.
These are inferior quarterbacks, though. These are guys that are journeymen at best and backups on any team, not just this one. Ryan Mallett is playing for the Baltimore Ravens and can't sniff the field behind Joe Flacco.
Oh, he played.
Yeah, well, he got a touchdown pass. Yeah. But, I mean, to his point, this has everything to do with Tom Brady and not as much to do with conservative play calling, even though I don't think Bill O'Brien's a great play caller. Tom Brady helps a lot.
But Alfonso, let me see if I got your side of this, because I hear you. I hear what Barry just said, but here's my thing. Those guys executed that system when Tom Brady was out to the standpoint of winning records. And I know you can say it's the system, but then to your point, if these guys were coaches within that system, why can't they run that system to at least, from a play calling perspective, be a little bit more outside the box, or even if you don't want to be aggressive? But that's the term I was going to use, to try other things. Because of the fact that there were several guys that when Brady went down were able to come in and execute to where they got big deals other places, like some of the guys you named and some others, simply because of the fact that they had winning seasons and won games because of that system, and those coaches knew that system. Because, yeah, it's easy to say you guys do a lot when you have Tom Brady, but also that system has been responsible, as we've seen, for the success of a lot of players, for the standpoint of once they get outside that system, they are not nearly what they were when they were with the Patriots.
So here's my other question is, you know, I know we've got a pretty good defense down here. How hard is it really to just go after Brady and just hit him? I mean, the Baltimore Ravens done it in the past. Some teams that have had success, it was simple. Just hit him. Just send one guy to hit him every single time. And I don't understand why other defensive coordinators, you know, are not duplicating that idea. I mean, there's a blueprint out there. It's not really that hard when you actually execute it. And I know they were tripling and doubling Watt a few times. And I think there was like maybe a glimpse or so where he got back there to Brady. But it's like my question is that, like, to the defensive coordinators, like, how hard is it? Just send a guy, you know, just a blitzer, somebody, to just hit him. And even if it's after the ball is thrown, it maybe you could take a risk of a penalty. But it is like letting him know, we're coming after you, and we're going to keep hitting you. And he has shown in the past, when he gets hit so many times, you completely disrupt everything. And I don't understand why, you know, for how good our defense is, why don't we have that approach?
Well, appreciate the call. Look,
the first half they hit him. There were a couple, including one deep ball down the center of the field, where even the announcer said, look, even when they weren't hitting him back in the pocket, he took a big lick when he threw that ball down the field. He still made a great pass. But the fact of the matter is, in the first half, they were getting to him more consistently. But people make, you know, coaches and teams make adjustments at the half. But here's the other thing. The way you're describing it seems like, well, if you just dedicate one linebacker that's going to go right after him,
yeah, they have people
it's going to part like the Red Sea, and he's going to go untouched and be able to rattle Brady's cage. There's a reason why we just got done talking about their system. Systematically, they keep you off balance. They run different schemes at you from a blocking perspective. You can't just run straight through the chute and say, I'm going to pound him.
And teams have hit him. The Texans have hit him, and teams have hit him. But it's a sentiment to how good Tom Brady is. He kind of even when he hasn't had the best O-line and gotten hit, he's a guy that stays in shape and knows how to get right back up. But going back to the coaches that are leaving, you know, Bill Belichick's old system. For a lot of these guys, this is the first time they had an opportunity to have a head coaching job. And even if it wasn't the first time, it's still a big opportunity because they're leaving a, you know, what is known to be a much better system with the Patriots and Bill Belichick, and they have to prove it on themselves. So a lot of times they play conservative and they play safe because they just want to avoid a disastrous season. So it's not really uncommon for people to leave a system or coaches to leave a system like the Patriots and play a little conservative, especially in the early years. And I know Bill O'Brien is not, you know, he's been, what, four seasons as the Texans head coach?
Yep.
But it's not that easy when you leave
a system
like that.
It's a fair point. There's more personnel than just Tom Brady. And the fact of the matter is you've got to have a multitude of running backs that are versatile enough to carry the football and catch it out of the backfield. Look what he, you know, even when you say, look, he hasn't, aside from Randy Moss, he's never had an all-pro receiver. But he's had receivers that play the system to a T. You know, so it's easy for Josh McDaniels to want to run the Patriots system in Denver, but you had Tim Tebow.
That's what I was saying. I mean, Josh McDaniels leaves and goes to Denver for 2 years. He goes starts off 5-0 or 6-0 or whatever, and then goes 5-17 the rest of the way because he's got Kyle Orton and Chris Sims and Tim Tebow running his offense.
Yeah, talent is a huge factor.
It's not that he's changing the way he does play calling or the plays that he calls or the schemes that he runs. It's the same offense. He's the same play caller. So he's in New England. He leaves. He goes to Denver. He looks terrible. He goes back. All of a sudden, he looks like a genius, and this is a great offense. You know what the one consistent thing in all that is? Tom Brady.
Well, but I also give you the other side of the equation. Tom Brady got hurt for the year and was out with that ACL when Bernard Pollard hit him that year. Matt Castle came in and took that team to like some ridiculous 11-5 record, and yet they didn't make the playoffs, but he was 11-5. So you can tell that Matt Castle, you know, did the right things, followed the system, but then everybody threw ridiculous money at him and expected him to be the next Tom Brady, and he crapped the bed. So you can look on both sides of the equation. I think, look, you can go all day on all the other guys, but in terms of Bill O'Brien and I've said it all along, and you and I have had these conversations more times than we care to admit, but the play calling is just hyper-conservative. It's always been that way, regardless of who is what. And you know what? It drives me crazy, but I understand it with Deshaun Watson because you got to protect the franchise in the future. But at the same time, third and one, no one's getting hurt doing something other than running it up the center's butt every time. Just my two cents.
All right.
So we got two in the books now, one to go. Still an hour of the big show. Barry, the calls are lining up, but we got plenty more to get to. By the way, your Astros had an early lead last night as Lance McCullers was back on the hill. But on a pitch count, he left, and so did the lead. Now, is it too much of a lead to catch the Cleveland Indians for the best record in the American League? We've got Astros to talk about. We got college football recap with some good games that happened this weekend. We can recap our picks, and we can get to a whole lot more. Again, we also see that Josh and Alex are on hold, and they still want to get in here on Texans. So we'll continue to try and manage it the best way we can, get to all the topics that we can cover, and then keep rolling through the final hour of the big show. Back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.